Wow. Good morning, Oak River. Wow. I have something weird to say before we do the testimonies. When I was in worship, I was just overwhelmed with gratitude for godly men in this room. I am so thankful for you men. Can I just say that? Is that okay? It's probably not politically correct. But I am thankful for you men. I really am. I heard you worshiping with all your heart. And I love that you don't think you have to sacrifice your masculinity in order to worship God. I love that. And I treasure that in you. So I just wanted to share it. Thank you. Whether you're a quiet strength kind of a guy or a whoo kind of a guy or whatever. I love that you worship God with who you are. And you're a blessing to Oak River, and you're a blessing to me personally. As a female pastor, you're a blessing to me. So I want to tell you that. Thank you. So I know, weird, but that's just what I felt, so I wanted to share it. So today, you might know from, if you've been here last week, that we're going to have testimonies from the people who went to Bethel out in Redding, California, about a month ago, and I can't wait for them to share what's in their hearts for you and from the Lord, because I think you're going to be blessed by it. I haven't heard what they're going to say. It's not like we got together and said, okay, what are you going to talk about? I just said, hey, follow what the Lord tells you to do and talk about what he did in your heart while you were there. That's the only guidance really I gave. But we had a team of 9 people who went out to experience the presence of God that's unique to Bethel. And we enjoyed it. When I felt like the Lord told me to do it, I was a little nervous, because I've taken lots of trips before with godly people, and some of them were hard. Can I just say? Some of them were hard. And sometimes we came home not loving each other as much as we did when we left. So when I'm like, God, a lot could go wrong. Listen, just because God tells you to do something and just because you say yes doesn't mean you don't think about what could go wrong in the process. So I was like, God, okay, I'm going to do this. But 9 people went of all different generations, of all different personality types. And we had the most amazing time. None of what I thought could have happened that went wrong did go wrong. None of that went wrong. Like, I just felt such a sense of people deferring to each other in the most beautiful godly way. It really was powerful for me as a pastor to witness people who just said, you know, I don't need to be in the spotlight. You go. I'll cook breakfast. I'll make the coffee. Like, it was just beautiful. It was really, really powerful. And we did experience some cool things. So we're going to get started. I'm not going to introduce everybody by name because it would take too much time. So I told them we're going to go in alphabetical order by first name and then just pass the mic off like a baton. Okay? Kids, I really am happy. We actually saved testimonies for Family Worship Sunday because I wanted you guys to hear what is being talked about today. So we're starting it off. Here we go. Carly is first up. Woo-hoo.
I'm going to try to stick to this so I don't ramble on and on for the whole time. okay, so I realized this literally just the other day that it was about a month ago now that we took a plane thinking that we were just crossing state lines, but I feel like we ended up traveling back in time 2,000 years ago, back to the early church. The early church where healing abounded because it was an expectation, where groups traveled great lengths to see how God was moving, where you could so clearly see Christ's love for everyone they came into contact with. Friday evening, there was a 6 p.m. service, and you had people from all different ages, ethnicities, backgrounds, just crowding the stage. It started at 6 p.m. and it lasted until 10 p.m. And we saw so many people, so many young people, taking 4 hours of their night to just worship and soak in Christ. And they were excited to do it. Saturday morning, people from all over came and gathered for healing, and healing took place. Sunday morning, we accidentally, we went a little bit early to one of the church services, and we walked in on their leadership prayer meeting, and at which point, a couple of the people came out, greeted us, prayed over some people, just poured out love and encouragement. Sunday afternoon, people speaking over us what they heard the Father saying, much of which cut to the core. None of it was judgment or condemnation, just again, the Father's love and encouragement. Sunday evening, another 4 hours, worshiping, hearing a message, and then just spending an hour in the presence of the Holy Spirit. People were worshiping, crying, praying. One of the things that stood out to me the most was a cameraman who would, he set down his camera in the middle of the aisle, and he started praying over people. I set the scene to show you what happens on a regular weekend. Love is poured freely. Every interaction was encouraging and uplifting. It was never tearing down. Everyone can see how well these people love each other, how well they love their community. And they make it very clear that everything they do is because of Christ and what he did for them. I've heard Sandy say before, Jesus didn't just come to tell us about the kingdom, but also to show us what's possible in kingdom living. And I think for me, sometimes I see people and I think, well, they're the exception. They can do it, but it's just a handful of people. But then we went to this place where it was the exception not to be that way. And I'm going to go a little bit off script here, but how did they do it, right? This morning we were in prayer and Sammy was praying with us, and he was sitting on the couch, and we were trying to get him to move. And he said, no, I want to sit right here. And I got this picture of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and her being told by her sister, come over here, come do something else. And she said, no, I just want to sit right here. Friday for 4 hours, they just sat right there. Sunday, they like every day and every day of their lives, they just, I want to sit right here. There were sweatshirts for sale in the gift shop that said, we owe the world an encounter. And that's what they did. That's what I think they do best. They don't tell you what you're doing wrong, but they give you an encounter of what it's like to fully live in the Father's love, to bring the kingdom of heaven down. You can feel their actions pressing in on you, whispering gently, follow me as I follow Christ. They give the world an encounter. They give the world a taste of Christ, and it leaves you hungering and thirsting after him, while also giving an example of what the kingdom living looks like, what it feels like, what's possible. Now, one person giving 100%, giving, it's not sustainable, they're going to burn out. But a community giving 100%, giving, that means that everyone else is receiving. I want to close with this. So in a recent Bible study, it talked about how we are called to go shine our lights in the darkness. And I get this picture of, I don't know what they're called, not floodlights, but those lights that you sometimes see at like car dealerships where they like, they're in the air and everyone can see them, right? And you don't always know how to get to them though. And I feel like Bethel was this place where it was like these lights in the sky, and these people in the church didn't just stay in the church to shine these lights saying, come to us. They went out, they took their lights, they went out to the darkness, and they found people in the darkness, and they just shined. And then they started walking back to the light, and they showed them how to get there. They showed them how to get to Jesus. And then they came back in the light, and they soaked it up, and they went out again. Everyone, even in the community, when you mentioned, we mentioned we were there for Bethel, even if they didn't go to the church, they were like, oh, I love those people. So, in worship last night, part of one of the songs went, only a moment to live like that, only a moment to live this life, like shooting stars burning up the night. I saw so many shooting stars out there. I want to be a shooting star burning up the night. Life is fleeting, and I only have a moment to live like this. And that's really kind of what touched me, is them sitting in his presence, pouring out that love, and just showing us what that was like.
Hi. I actually have two things I want to talk about. First of all, I want to make a confession. I really did not want to go on this trip. I fought it and knew I needed to go, but I didn't want to go. A little bit because I don't like to fly, but mostly because I knew some of what it was like at Bethel. And anybody who knows me very well knows me. I'm not a real emotional, demonstrative, woohoo kind of person, you know. And I knew it, that I would be uncomfortable in that environment. But more than that, I felt like I would be judged because I wasn't like everybody else in that environment. Last week when Kathy did the opening, she said she was a King James kind of girl. I'm a traditional hymns and maybe Gaither music kind of girl. Bethel does not do that, you know. So that service that Carly talked about that lasted 4 hours, that she thought was wonderful, to me it was loud music, and they had spotlights flashing, and there were big screens behind the worship team with all these pictures swirling around, and nearly everybody around me was really into the worship, and they are very free to do whatever God leads them to do. So they are down on the floor or jumping up and down or dancing. You know, Dave would fit right in, you know. And there's that Judy, you know. But so I came away from that feeling like there must be something wrong with me. I'm, you know, God must be disappointed in me because I'm not like all these other people. And then Saturday we went to a healing service, and you were to take this paper and write down the thing that you wanted healing prayer for, and then they matched you up with groups of people. And the first thing the man said when I got there was, he took my paper and he turned it over and he said, "We're not going to look at this. We're just going to pray for you and let the Spirit lead us." And there were three of them. And they prayed for three or four things that were issues, some physical, some spiritual, that I have been dealing with, that I hadn't even talked to Ron about, some of them. Hadn't written them down on that paper, but that because of the Holy Spirit and their sensitivity to him, they knew those things and they knew to pray for those things. And one of the people said, "I feel God wants me to tell you that he says he sees you, he knows you, he really, really loves you, and he even likes you." Yes. Yeah, yeah. So then later we went to a prophetic session that Ron and I went to together as a couple. And again, the only thing they knew about us was our first names. But they started telling us all these things about our kids and our life and things that have happened in the past and things that we can look forward to in the future. And again, there's no way other than through the Holy Spirit that they could know those things. And so I came away from both of those sessions with this knowledge that God really, really knows me. And he made me the way I am. And he doesn't want me to be the one that's jumping up and down, you know. And that it doesn't make my worship of him any less than anybody else's. And so that was... and then when we went to the Sunday morning service, they had this meet and greet thing, and this lady came over to me and she said, "God wants me to tell you that he sees you as a beautiful woman of God and he loves you very much." And so I just kept getting these affirmations, you know, which is, of course, what I needed. So that was good. And I think that is not just for me. You know, I think there are others who feel less than the rest. You know, when you look around, I see the level of faith in some people, you know. And so I think maybe there's somebody else that needs to know that God really, really loves you and he likes you too. The other thing, all during the time we were there and even since then, we kept getting told we needed to pursue the presence of God. And I struggled with what that meant. I still am trying to figure out what does it mean to pursue the presence of God. God's promise to us One of them is that he's always with us. So I'm in the presence of God, so why do I need to pursue the presence of God? You know? So it's confusing to me, but I've figured out a lot of it. I think it means in part to live in a constant awareness of him and his presence in me, with me, working through me. So I'm still trying to figure out. It's very multifaceted to pursue the presence of God. But I think knowing that he's always with us should help us to see other people and other situations through his eyes and the way he would see them. And I, last week, I got a phone call that was a wrong number. And the lady said, "I was trying to call my son. You're not my son, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not your son," and we hung up. But immediately, I got this, like a holy nudge, to pray for that woman, to pray for her son, to pray for whatever was the reason she was trying to call her son. I will never know what any of that was. But I think part of pursuing the presence of God is to be sensitive to those nudges and to obey them whether we ever know the income or outcome or not. And I think that that's the kind of relationship he wants us all to have with him. And I don't know who's next. Linda.
So this is really hard for me talking in front of people. I know I talk to y'all on a one-on-one basis a lot, but in front of people it's hard. I felt from the minute we got to the house that we were at, it was like God was there with us. We were in a house with a flowing river behind the house, and it was just so beautiful, and it was such a spiritual place. And I didn't know what to expect. I heard a lot of things about Bethel, and I wasn't really sure because some of them weren't all great, but I wanted to go myself and see what it was all about. So, first of all, the first night we were there, we did devotions every night and or sometime throughout the day together, and we were singing and worshiping, and the room that we were in faced the river, and I was facing the river. And I looked out the window, and all I saw was, and this was my first experience like this, so it's very emotional, was like demons jumping out of all of us into the river. Like they were saying they were going away from us, and everything was, and it was like I got up and I looked out the window and I was watching them, and they were like flailing away, like down the river. And it was just so, I don't know how I felt, but it was just amazing. And then the next day we went to the worship service, and I almost felt like Judy. It was going on and on and on. And I was just singing, so I stayed awake. To be honest, I stood up, so I stayed awake. And when it was over, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, that it was over. But then as the time went on, like the next morning, we went to the healing, and that was an amazing experience. I had told these guys, I said, they were pushing me down on the ground. And Pastor Sandy said, no, they weren't. They would never do that to you. But somebody did, because I was laying on the ground. So that was amazing in itself, and they prayed for healing, and I feel like I have gotten some healing from it. Not 100%, but pretty good. And then Sunday we went to the service, and it was really wonderful, and some people did prophesize over us just standing there and talking to us before we even went in, which was amazing. And then when we went to the prophecy, I guess, Daryl and I were together, and the first thing they said to us was, I see a farmer. Well, nobody knew that Daryl grew up being a farmer. And that was amazing. And they talked a lot about our life and our in a roundabout way, our business and some things, which was really amazing. And then Sunday night, we went to a service, which was wonderful. It was actually the same service we saw in the morning with the same person doing it. But it was really, there was so much more I heard in that second service than I heard in the first service. And then at the end, everybody, and I don't even know if it was the end, because it was maybe 2 hours of worship after the service. And I was sitting in my chair and I had my head down and I felt like somebody was just pushing my head down, like there was so much pressure on my head, I couldn't even lift it up. And that was the most peace I have ever felt in my entire life. And there were people walking around and they were praying for everybody and they just came up to you and they had their hand on you. And it was just like amazing. But another thing that happened on Monday, we all went out and went to the Mount Shasta and we're having a good time. But I really felt in my heart during the day, and I said this while we were eating, which was amazing to me, was I was really hoping that there was a service on Monday night. And I was like, wow, that came out of my mouth. And it was. And I told Pastor Sandy, I will go again. The next time she wants to go, I will definitely go. And I would recommend to anybody, if you get the chance to go, you should go. Because it was an experience that I really am so happy that I did not miss.
I just want to say that I wish the worship was 40 hours. Let's just be real. After 4 hours, I was like, wait, how was it 4 hours? So I'm going to talk about, it's kind of different than everyone else, but that's fine. Two kind of like specific things that I experienced while I was there. And I brought a prop kind of because it's family worship, but it's not really a prop. It's just a picture. But usually when I go places, I try not to really set expectations of what's going to happen, or I don't know. I just don't. But for Bethel, I follow Bethel TV. I watch a lot of their sermons online. I listen to their worship. So I kind of had an idea of what I was going to expect. But I wasn't really prepared for what was going to happen while I was there. Just every part, physically, mentally, spiritually. I experienced a kind of love, that a word that I've never really said before. It's that the love of God is wild. I experienced that word in so many ways. The worship obviously was my favorite part. We spent, like everyone else said, 4 hours worshiping with the experience was awesome. But they played this song. It was called Waitlist, and it was a new song they've never sang before, and it really impacted me. What I got out of it is they explained it's, you're in this thin place. And what I take from that, a thin place, is where there's nothing between me and God. It's just me and him, and that there's nothing between us. There's nothing that can separate us. And while that song was playing, I kind of cried, because that's always what I do. I was just sitting down, praying and just praying, like, God, I want to be in the thin place with you. I want to, for everything to be set aside. I don't want to question. I don't know. I was just praying like that I would feel him, that you would just make it known to me that you're here and that you're never leaving me. And so I was like just praying, crying. I didn't want anyone to I didn't want to distract anyone. And I was like, oh, this is nice. Ron was sitting next to me. I was like, Ron's putting his hand on me to calm me down, so I would stop crying. And I'm like, that was nice. And then I looked over and Ron's hand wasn't there. I was like, oh, it's probably this lady behind me, because she was speaking in tongues and doing all this stuff. So she probably, but I looked and there was no hand on me. And for me, that, just now I'm still kind of boggled about it. I actually felt the hand of God on me, for over like 30 minutes. And I guess I never really thought that actually happened because I never experienced it before. So when I experienced that, it was wild. Let me get this. Oh, but the lyrics of the song, I wanted to read it to you. I'm not going to sing them because I would probably cry. But part of it, it says, I'm weightless. The only gravity here is your presence. Your love makes me fly. Earth seems so far below. Don't ever let me go. I'm caught in your whirlwind, wrapped in eternity. Fear has no hold on me here. I'm weightless. The only gravity is you and me here. So that was really, I don't know, I just really like that song. But here, so one other thing. I'm not very good at talking in front of people, sorry. We went to this thing after the healing rooms called it, they called it an encounter room. And basically what it was, this big, it was like in their sanctuary. And they, you know, it's a big room where they had worship and all their messages and everything. But they set up the chairs and they kind of made it homey feeling. They put blankets out and there was a bunch of children running around dancing with flags and scarves. And then in the center there was probably like five or so canvases where people were painting. There was an area for communion with this really beautiful picture of Jesus. I wish I had it, but so it was just you. And then there was a worship team playing, and I sat down. We kind of all scattered, sat by ourselves, and this was the picture that I was staring at the whole time. So we got one of them. So, and it says on the back, this is what the title of the author wrote. It says, He delights in you. That's the title. He loves you so much. When you turn your affection toward Him, this is how He responds. For the Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. Is that a joyous choir I hear? No, it is the Lord Himself exalting over you in a happy song. And that's Zephaniah 3:17. So I want to ask you, like, if anyone wants to, what they see when they look at this picture. If anyone wants to say. Joy. Yeah. Peace. Mm-hmm. I think of like unconditional love, or I don't know. So I really liked that picture, just to like sit and stare at it while we're worshiping. And during that time, this little girl came up to me. She's probably 5 years old, 5 or 6. I don't know. She's like this tall. She'll be like as tall as Miles. And her name was Carmen. And there, I thought that was really cool because they have children who go around there with helpers, and they help them pray. They kind of just say, okay, who's the person you want to go pray for? And so they go up, and it was my turn, apparently. And her name was Carmen, and she just came up to me, and she said, is it okay if I pray for you? And of course, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And she grabs my face. And starts praying for me. Just, I don't even know what she said anymore. Just, I know that she said that when I'm ever afraid, just look around and you'll find Jesus. And just, you know, simple things. But I want to be like her. I want to be so in that thin place that I can just pray and have that boldness. So that was really, really awesome. She showed me the wild love of God. And then the last thing, so overall, basically a lot of what I got, is that I just want more of intimacy with God. And the last thing I want to end with is that in the last session, Haley Braun, I don't know if you guys know who she is, but, she's someone at Bethel.
She said, we want the benefit without the intimacy. And she said, get in covenant with the king. So I just pray that we can do that. That's what I've been trying to continue to do, is stay in covenant with him. And I'm thankful that, you know, we were able to go and just set aside everything and be able to do that. So.
So, I this week worked out my testimony, had it all written down. 2 days ago, told Judy, told the kids, here it is. Sorry, God says, pump the brakes. Right hand turn. That's something else I want you to say. So, I'm feeling dangerous. I told Carly this morning, because I don't have a script. You know, I tried to work something out during worship, but first of all, Judy said she didn't want to go. Truth be told, we were tricked into going. Carly's fault. Yeah, you know, there was a sheet that said, just sign up if you're interested about it. And Carly said, it just means you're interested. Just sign it. It took me 5 pens to find a pen that would write my name on it. I should have known, but anyhow. So yeah, we were tricked into going. I gotta admit, I was a little freaked out, you know. I married the Gaither girl, and they don't do Gaither, although they would be welcome. I do know that, you know. So 15 hours in church that seemed like minutes. We came to worship night the week after, and it was, I don't know how long it was, but it was way too short. Way too short, you know. Those of us that have been there, it's like, that's it? That's all you got? You know?
No.
No? And it wasn't just the 15 hours in church. It was the times at the house in worship and Bible study and just times together, you know. But to try and encapsulate it, the things I got is God knows you intimately. The prophecy sessions were astounding. They called us in. Judy said, all they know is your name. They didn't even know our names. They asked us our name up front so that they could refer to us by name. But, oh my gosh, they told me things about my kids and about us. You know, for instance, the guy says, you're a hunter. How does he get that? Do I look like a hunter? But he spoke about that and God's intention in that. There's just so many things that were just so intimate, okay? The other thing I got was he loves you completely. It really didn't matter. We sat there and worshiped and watched people. Some people worshiped like Judy and Daryl sitting, okay? Some people worshiped, they would put Dave to shame, you know? I mean, they're wild. They're just exuberant, jumping. There is laughing. There is crying. There is shouting. There is, you name it. There's people laid out on the floor, like Linda. Okay? It's all going on, and nobody thinks anything less of anybody over all of it. It is normal. And it reminded me of, in the scriptures, and it says, the disciples were doing, or the apostles were doing, extraordinary miracles. And I've always looked at that and thought, that means there's ordinary miracles. And that's what we saw, is what ordinary should look like. Ordinary is just a total abandonment to God and being in his presence and hearing what he wants to say and letting him lavish his love on us. One of the other things I got was, when it's so dark you can't see him, he still sees you. I've been in that place when it was so dark. You can't sleep, you can't eat. And he still sees you. And he cares. And he's crying too. He's not sleeping either. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. So, what does that mean? Well, be genuine, because he loves that. If your worship is sitting quietly, okie dokie. If it's raising a hand or two hands, or, you know, there's all sorts of ways of raising your hand. You know? And you can tell what kind of church people grew up in by the way they raise their hands. And I dare you to change that sometime and worship him in a different way. Just, and this is a safe place to do it, because it doesn't matter. However you worship him, you can dance, you can sit, you can whatever. Be honest. That was one of the other things, was I was going, it was like, oh, what's going to be expected of me? And pretty soon I realized, I don't care. Right? Natalie told me before we left, she said, oh, you're going to see a wild side. So I watched her sit and bawl for 30 minutes. She's wild. But be honest. For the be genuine, he loves you to be genuine. Be you. Don't be something else. Don't try to fake it. Just be you. Be honest. He can take it. You can pour out every bit of it to him. He can take it. I've told you before, during a very difficult time, I shouted at him in the backyard. He just listened until I was done shouting. Sometimes you just need to shout it out. You know? His presence is the most important. And Judy talked to you about what does that mean, to his presence. And you got to figure that out yourself, I think. But get close to him. Allow him to get close to you. Allow the Spirit to change you. I think Jerry talked about that at the beginning. Relationship is the whole important thing. And he died so that we could have relationship with him. In the beginning, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He had relationship with them. Adam and Eve blew it. We want to blame Eve, but Adam was standing there. He could have stopped it. Okay? So they blew it. And relationship was broken. And since the garden, he's been trying to get relationship back. He died to get relationship back. He gave everything so that you could have relationship. That piece of you that you're holding on to, because, you know, you say, okay, God, you can have all this stuff that's messed up anyhow, but this piece I've got figured out. So I got this. You just, never mind, I got this. No, you don't. Give that to him too. What have you got to lose? everything and yet nothing. Because I got to tell you, what he's got for you is better than what you've got for yourself. What his plans for you are better than your plans for you. So just give it all over. And who said, you said it. You said it. Follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say that? If you can't have other people follow you as you follow Christ, well, better start going the direction he's going. That was the message we heard twice because we needed to hear it, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Same preacher, same message, just as impactful, if not more, the second time than it was the first time. Follow me as I follow Christ. Stay close to him. And let other people follow you to the light, because that's what we're here for. And I encourage you, if there's places in your life that you're holding on to that you need to let go, don't leave before you let it go. Things you think you've got under control, you don't. Just forget it. Give up. It is give up, but it's give up. Give to him. He's got you. He won't let you fall. He's got you.
We had fun. We laughed a lot, too, by the way. We didn't just worship. We worshiped. We laughed a lot, too. We had a good time, and we ate some good food. Woo, we had some good food. So anyway, one of the places we went was called, in Spanish, I don't know the words, but in English, it's translated to the Kitchen of Jesus. And it was the Kitchen of Jesus. It was delicious. Woo, Mexican food, so good. So I have a bunch of testimonies that I'm not going to share today. They'll be leaking out in the months to come that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. But I will show the kids. I showed it to the adults, and the kids were in service. One of the times that the little kids came up to me and prayed over me, one of the little girls gave me this drawing, and I want you to see it. She said it was me and Jesus sitting in a tree. Isn't that awesome? And she prayed for me, and she got that drawing when she was in worship. And then another little girl, this girl's name was Kaylin, she was 8, and this little girl's name was Sammy, and she was 7, and she gave me this one. Hope says hope. Isn't that awesome? The other word says peace, you're right. So I walked away with peace and hope and a whole lot of joy.